San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, November 2, 2025. Today's lesson is Serenity Prayer with Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning. Welcome home to San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Let's anchor ourselves in. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation, and I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So here we are with a brand new month of November, and our theme for November is serenity. Serenity. It's interesting how excited I am to have the theme of serenity, and yet the excitement is not that high, bubbly, over the top. It's a deep, deep gratitude, a deep feeling, maybe of serenity. So what is serenity? It's the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. It's characterized by a sense of inner peace and tranquility, even amidst changes. It's an absence of mental stress and anxiety. It's a feeling of all is well, despite life's challenges. And it's considered a positive emotion. What we know is that serenity radiates from within. You can't go out and get serenity. Serenity is an inside job. For 2025, we've been following Sarah von Breathnach's book, Simple Abundance. And on her page for November 6th, it says, in real life, serenity depends on coping and coping well. Serenity depends on coping and coping well. Well, and when I first read that, I thought, gee, it almost makes serenity sound like a thing that you can achieve, and it's not. It's a feeling that you are, a feeling that you are. And today's lesson is about the serenity prayer. When I was a kid growing up, my mother had a little wooden plaque with the serenity prayer on it in the kitchen. And I read it, and I always thought it was a really cool prayer. I knew nothing about AA or any of the 12-step programs, but it just was a cool prayer. So I've known about this prayer practically all my life. And it just always felt like an encouraging prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Wisdom to know the difference. So, how do we get serenity? When we let go of the past and the future and other people's issues, then we can find peace in the present moment. And that is where serenity always lives, in the present moment. And what about courage? What is courage? When we overcome our personal challenges, that sometimes takes a lot of courage. And we can make positive changes in our lives. The third big word in that prayer is wisdom. So grant me serenity, courage, and wisdom. Wisdom is the discernment that allows us to apply serenity and courage effectively. When we know, when we can discern what is changeable and what is not. In this room, my ability to change any one of you doesn't exist. However, the ability to change each of our own selves does exist. In the Bible, the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you." So when we feel that peace, it's because we have a faith. We trust in something. In Isaiah, it's talking about man trusting in God. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold." So what they're saying is you gain more from understanding than you will from money. And you will profit more in your life from understanding and wisdom than you will from money. So I just thought that was a really cool play on words. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the Religious Science and Science of Mind movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. He wrote a lot of amazing things. This he wrote, it's on page 218, starting about halfway down the third paragraph. "We know the background of human thought is, to a great extent, one of negation, a denial of a harmonious and spiritual universe. Consequently, our outlook on life must be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And even when the results are not immediately forthcoming, we must still maintain a calm serenity of thought. We must relight the torch of our imagination by fire caught from heaven. We must remain faithful to this vision, for a realization of the presence of God is the secret power of our work." So what he's telling us is that we human beings, we're pretty netted proud on an average day. We see something and we go, "Oh, I don't want that, no." Or we see something and go, "I don't have that, oh, poor me." So we're denying the fact that the universe has already given us everything. Everything's already ours. All we need to do is open our minds, renew our minds with the understanding that it's already ours, and accept it. Because when we refuse to accept something, guess what? We don't get it. If we refuse to accept that life is good, we don't have a good life. If we refuse to accept beauty, then everything in our life looks ugly to us. So we need to renew our minds and maintain a calm serenity of thought. And it's our imagination and the things that we learn that assist us in seeing the good that all is. The Serenity Prayer, the first part of it is 25 words. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. 25 words. Do you know that those 25 words carry a spiritual truth that has touched millions, if not billions, of lives? Because that prayer was composed between 1932 and 1933, which is still less than 100 years ago. But there's more to the prayer than that. It was composed by Reinhold Niebuhr, who was a minister, and several other things. So now I'm going to read you the entire Serenity Prayer, because it's not just 25 words. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next. So there are a few things that I want to point out in that. He says, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. That's being in the present moment. That's the only place we can effectively make a difference. But then he says, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. And what I think he's saying there is that we are recognizing that peace requires action. In order to have peace, something has to make us unpeaceful. So if we accept that something is making us unpeaceful, then we can become peace. That is the pathway. We are triggered to want peace by being in a situation that is not peaceful. Taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. That one just jumped right up at me and it said, a world that works for everyone. Not a world that works for everyone the way I want it to work for everyone. But recognizing that no matter what the world looks like, it is already working for everyone. I don't have to like how it's working for everyone or for any individual or group. I don't have to like that. But just as the divine, as Jesus did, taking this world as it is and recognizing that I am the only one who can change my life in this world. I can listen to other people. I can read sacred writings. I can do all kinds of stuff. But the only one who can change anything is me. So if I don't like what's going on around me, guess who it's up to change? Me. And not to change those things, but to change who I am, how I am. He said, trusting that he, meaning God, will make all things right if I surrender to his will. I want to remind everyone that surrender is giving over, not giving up. So it's not that I say, okay, God, I give up. I'm not going to do anything. Just, you know, push me around on the game board. No. Giving over. I am giving over the idea control of anything, because I'm not. The only thing I can control is what I think and how I react. So it's a very powerful prayer when you read the long version. Niebuhr used it in a sermon in 1943 at the Heath Evangelical Union Church in Heath, Massachusetts, and it got transcribed. Then it first appeared in print in 1944 in, of all places, the Book of Prayers and Services for the Armed Forces. Niebuhr worked with the military leaders. He worked with these different people on dealing with the issues that they had in the military and upon leaving the military. If you think about it, 43, 44, what was going on around then? Oh, World War II. Something else that is probably more well known than who Reinhold Niebuhr was is Bill W., William Griffith Wilson. Bill W. and Dr. Bob S. were the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they started that in 1935. So think about it. This prayer was written between 32 and 33. And in 1935, Bill W. and Dr. Bob founded Alcoholics Anonymous. They liked, Bill anyway, liked the prayer so much that he had it printed in its shortened form and distributed to the members of AA. So the Serenity Prayer is a part of AA's 12-step program. Now, as an aside, I want to let you know that there are only two things that are considered sins in AA. The first is interfering with the growth of another human being. That's a no-no. Do not interfere with the growth of another human being. And this second one, when I read it, I thought, oh, wow. Do not interfere with your own growth. Don't interfere in anybody else's path. Don't interfere in your path. Allow it to unfold using the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that is where these two rules come in. Accept others and yourself exactly as you are. Be courageous in changing those things over which you have control. And be smart. Discern. Have the wisdom to know what I can change and what I can't. Something to remember about the full version of the prayer is that chaos is going to continue when we try to change people or things that we shouldn't or can't. In such cases, we find that serenity is the farthest thing away from our lives. Accepting God's plan and His purpose for your life will bring you the serenity that you seek. So those three big words, serenity, courage, and wisdom. I was really excited once I started looking into this, the full Serenity Prayer, and seeing how powerful and how life-changing it is. Not just the little bit that my mom had posted in her kitchen, but the whole thing and how it impacts our entire life. It's like a life philosophy in the long version, or it's a life philosophy in 25 words or less. One of the places that I looked is crosswalk.com. And what that is, it's a website, and it has articles on there. And it doesn't say who wrote the article. It just tells you that everything is compiled and edited by the Crosswalk editorial staff. So last January, they had an article called Three Scriptural Truths Regarding Peace and Serenity Can Be Applied to Words of the Serenity Prayer. And you know me in words. And trying to find quotes that support them, that there's enough of something spread around the whole world that will support it. It's not like Joe down the street said it, therefore it's gospel. But I like having the ideas presented in different ways. So I was very excited to look through this article that they had. And what I noticed in what they were writing about the prayer was that this 25-word prayer is about being and doing. Being and doing. In order to be serenity, you have to do acceptance. In order to be courage, you have to do change. And in order to be wisdom, you have to do choosing, knowing the difference, choosing. So what is this be serenity and do acceptance? Well, when your life feels out of control, or when any of us, our life feels out of control, we can try harder, or we can give up. And when we try harder, or we give up, it feels like peace and serenity just get farther and farther away. It's like by trying harder, we're pushing serenity away. By giving up, we're succumbing to depression or sadness and pushing serenity away. So what is the solution to that? I've got a solution for you. Let go of trying to control. We don't need to know the plan, but we need to trust that one exists. If we go with the flow, peace will come. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, these are the supporting scriptures. It says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And in Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So let's look at courage. We want to be courage, and so we do change. You have the power of spirit within you. That means you can have the courage to follow and act on God's plan or God's guidance for your life. It's not a good idea to fearfully ignore hard decisions or to run from difficult situations. So the solution is call upon this power of God, of spirit, of source. And Ernest Holmes tells us, "There's a power for good in the universe greater than you, and you can use it." So you have the power of spirit within you. Use it. Use the courage to make the change. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And in the book of Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. So in this Crosswalk article, it gave these biblical verses to tie into the different aspects. And I thought, what a great job they did in finding appropriate words within an ancient tome. So what about being wisdom? Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So with this wisdom, when we be wisdom, when we are wisdom, then what we do is we know the difference. And in knowing that difference, we get to choose. So wisdom is a gift. It's a quality of God also. And under quality of God, wisdom is known as knowledge, insight, good sense, the ability to discern inner qualities and relationship. That's pretty powerful. So, I don't have an issue in here for wisdom. It's based, I guess the issue would be not knowing the difference in what to choose. But the solution is to daily increase our wisdom. We can do that with sacred readings, inspirational books, listening to podcasts of Connie's talks, or Mark's talks, or Noble's talks. You can listen to our podcasts. They're online. Or prayer. And prayer is communicating with God. God responds through answered prayer. And what we get to do then is accept the answered prayer or try to change something based on the answer to the prayer that we received. But God is the ultimate source of wisdom. Now, I don't say that lightly. It's a short little sentence. God is the ultimate source of wisdom. That's because there's one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that includes wisdom. And it flows through the entire universe, including you and me and everybody else. Tapping into that wisdom is a gift. In the book of James, Chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what have we learned? We have learned that it takes change. It takes acceptance. It takes discernment. It takes choosing. Thinking about how our life is in order to have the life that we choose to have. In order to have that serenity, that deep knowing that everything is going to be okay. The icon on your program insert is a butterfly, and in that butterfly is written the Serenity Prayer. And I chose that icon because the life of the butterfly is the perfect example of the Serenity Prayer. The caterpillar is going along, having a great time, eating up little leaves, and then suddenly things start to change. And the caterpillar needs to accept the changes that he can't get away from. But there are things that the caterpillar can do. And so with courage, the caterpillar, recognizing these changes, needs to find a good place to hang its cocoon. And the wisdom within the caterpillar to allow the cocoon and the metamorphosis that brings forth the beauty of the butterfly. So when you think of the Serenity Prayer, think of a butterfly, caterpillar going into being a butterfly. Now, what else have you learned? I found a wonderful thing written by Bishop Darrell Watkins. He is claiming what he wants, what he needs, in faith. So he wrote, "Where storms are brewing, let us know that God's peace is also present. Where disease seems to run rampant, let us know divine life to be perfect and expressing through every person we hold in prayer. Where fear and uncertainty strike, let us know that God is the one power and the one presence, and this power and presence is all and only and forever good. Let us bless the world today with our love. Let us hold the world in the light of divine love. Let us boldly declare that all is well. And so it is. All is well." And so when I think of all is well, every time I hear it, my mind responds with Julian of Norwich's quote, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." In government speak, if you say something will occur, that's iffy. If you say something shall occur, that is a requirement. It is a demand. It is a contractual term. So when we say all shall be well, we're saying, hey, all shall be well. I know it. It's a promise. It's happening. All shall be well, period. I'm declaring that is well. I have a couple of other quotes I want to share with you from Richard Living, which is a book by Raymond Charles Parker and Ernest Holmes. "The full action of God in my life is perfect peace. The full action of God in my life is perfect peace." And so I'd like to close with something that Ernest Holmes wrote in the Science of Mind textbook. He wrote A Treatment for Peace, and it's on page 264, paragraphs 3, 4, and 5. "We cannot be in peace until we know that the Spirit is the only cause, medium, and effect in our lives. There is no past, present, and future to it. Evil has no history and has never entered into the being or the experience of reality. The mind must come to know and to realize all these truths if it is to have real and lasting peace. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God within me. I am the principle of peace within me. I am the manifestation of love within me. My mind is poised in peace and beauty. All sense of fear or doubt is gone. I rest in calm trust and rely on the law of spirit to bring good into my experience. I contend with none, argue with none, and am filled with wonderful peace and light. There is no uncertainty about my future and no fear as a result of my past. I live in an eternal now which is filled with good alone. Goodness and beauty follow me. Peace and joy accompany me. Happiness and wholeness fill my entire being with the realization of love and perfection. My mind is poised in peace and beauty. All sense of fear or doubt is gone. I rest in calm trust and rely on the law of spirit to bring good into my experience. It doesn't get better than that. So I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.